be here and get to know a few. On Saturday, I knew nobody. I knew one or two. I might call you the wrong name yet, but don't worry too much about that. But hopefully before the end of the week, we'll get to know everybody's name and we'll get to know you as well. So it's good to be here. And all I want to do just for a wee minute or two tonight, I want to bring you a very simple wee gospel message. And it's really for everybody, but I hope that the boys and girls will be able to follow with me, because I want to address it mostly to yourself. And if you're taking a few notes, well, if we think that you can maybe remember. If you have your Bible down, I want to read two verses in one chapter, so it's not hard to find it. It's in the Gospel of John, and I want to read it verse 14. John chapter 3 and verse 14. Sorry, I need to tell you the chapter. John chapter 3. John chapter 3 and verse 14 and verse 15 together. And this is what it says. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's all I'm going to read just now. I was quite impressed, if not shocked, last night when Rutherford told you that he's going to speak to you this week about Moses. Guess what? I'm going to speak to the boys and girls about Moses. And on Friday, we're maybe Saturday, no, that's only a joke, we're going to have a quiz to see who was listening the best. But I was thinking of this verse tonight. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, and as Rutherford spoke to us last night, he told us some down things. He mentioned things that came down. Now, they were positive. He talked about the Lord Jesus saying he came down, and that he laid down his life, and that he had sat down. Well, I want to do a little bit of an opposite tonight, and I want to talk to you from these two verses for a wee minute or two about three things that are lifted up. First of all, we have in verse 14, we have read of a serpent lifted up. And then we have a Savior lifted up. And in verse 15, I'm going to give it a little slant and call it a sinner lifted up. Because it says that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. And to be having eternal life just means you're saved. And the best thing that you could ever have in life is to be saved. You know, the psalmist, a man that wrote the Psalms, he said this: I cried unto the Lord in my distress, and he brought me up out of an horrible pit and put my feet upon a rock. And God wants to change not only your destiny forever, but he wants to change the direction that you're going. He wants to take you off a broad road that's leading you down to destruction and put you on a narrow way that's leading you to life. So there's three things we're going to look at very, very briefly. We're going to look at a serpent lifted up. It says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. A serpent is just a big snake, big brass snake that Moses made. So a serpent lifted up. And then we're going to think about a Savior lifted up, because it says, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And then we're going to think briefly what it means for a sinner. What does that mean, a sinner lifted up? Because I like to talk not only to adults, but I like to talk to boys and girls. Because I come here this week hoping and praying that if you're not saved, if you don't know your sins forgiven, that you will get saved this week. Even better, that you would get saved tonight. Because I, as a wee boy, was saved when I was almost seven. So it's possible for you to be saved tonight. And you know, there's nothing, there is absolutely nothing more important. Well, there's plenty of important things in this world. And it's good to, well, even though you don't believe it, it is good to go to school, get an education. It's good, but you know, something far more important. And it's good to get a good career and look ahead and say, I would like to do that job, and I would like to do this and earn money and have a hit. That's nice. And it's good. There's something far more important. You know what it is? To have eternal life. The Bible says that it's possible for you tonight to have that. And God's Son talked about Moses. So the subject that we're going to speak to you about today, the Lord Jesus himself talked about it. And here he was talking to a very, very religious man. And he said to him, I'm going to give you an illustration. I'm going to tell you how it is possible for you to know that you can have eternal life. And he told him a story of Moses. Now, you maybe have heard the story. You've maybe heard it at Bible Club or Sunday School or whatever. I'm going to tell you very briefly. Moses was a great leader. He loved the people that he was put in charge of. He loved God, and he listened to God, and he did what God said. And he led these people away from being slaves, and they were really thrilled. No more great big taskmasters to beat them in the back. No more bricks to make. And they were free. Wow, that was brilliant. For a wee while. And then they get fed up. And they said, look at this. We get this bread delivered every morning, and there's meat comes every morning. We're fed up with this. We were far better when we were down in Egypt because we had cucumber, we had garlic, and we had onions, and a whole lot of things. We're fed up with this, Moses. Oh, Moses wasn't very pleased when he heard that. He was very disappointed. The Bible then says that they then decided to look at the other nations around them. And all the other nations were worshipping idols. And they kind of thought, you know, we'd like to be the same as them. You know, sometimes we like to be like that. We like to be the same as the other guys. Even though we're not able to be that, we like to say, well, let's try. We'd be like them. Well, Moses was really disappointed then. And God was disappointed. And God sent fiery snakes in among the people. And I want you to use your imagination. Sometimes I use it too. It helps. Imagine a big camp and all the tents and lions sleeping some night and somebody feels something biting you in the leg. Oh, I think it's a spider or midges or whatever it is. It's not that important. And then you hear that the tent next door, just yesterday, somebody had got bitten. Oh, you panic then. You got a bite in the leg. What if it's the same thing? Was it a fiery serpent? What were we going to do? Well, that's what did happen. A lot of people died because of their sin. Well, sin is just disobeying. Now, I don't want you to put your hands up. Please don't do it because mums and dads are watching. But did you ever disobey your mommy? Or your daddy? Yeah, you know, I have two kids at home and they're brilliant. Oh, they're fantastic. Most of the time. Do you know what their mum says sometimes? Have you your bedroom tidy? And down it comes. Yeah, we have a bedroom tidy. And then she takes a wee walk up. And guess what? There's a shoe lying there and there's a school bag lying there. Maybe your bedrooms are tidier than that, but they disobey. And they tell lies. They do wrong things. The Bible says those are sinful things. We sin, and we disappoint God when we sin. But worse, God says anybody that sins must be punished. And that's what he did for the people. When they sinned, he sent these fiery serpents in among them, and they died. And then they came to Moses, and they said, but Moses, what are we going to do? We can't sort this problem out ourselves. We've tried to kill all these serpents, but when we kill them over there, there's more over here. When we kill them there, there's more over here. What are we going to do? Moses prayed to God, and God gave him a message. God gave him the answer. I'm going to stop there. I'm going to ask you to think. You've told lies. You've disobeyed. You've done wrong things. Have you ever thought about how God feels about that? Have you ever thought about what that really means? Because that means, because of my sin, I'm not going to heaven. Oh, that's a big problem. Have you the answer to that problem? Well, some people try and live better and say, well, I'll not do today what I did yesterday. And God says, no, I have the answer. I have a message for your problem. And here's what he told Moses to do. He said, I want you to go and get a large pole and get a big brass snake, form it into the shape of a snake, and put it up in the camp. Right? And here's the message. Anybody that's bitten by the fiery snake, wriggly snakes, when they crawl to the... No, he didn't say that. When they pray a whole lot harder and they jump up and down... No, he didn't say that. Here's what he said. It's so, so simple. He said, put the big snake of brass in the camp and tell the people, if they're bitten, when they look, they'll live. That's not hard, just not. That was pretty simple. Because God's a really simple God. He doesn't make things hard. And you know what? There's that boy that got bitten the last night, and he feels it in his leg, and he knows his neighbour has died, and he thinks, oh, I've been bitten. I'm going to die. What would I do? Well, if you'd met him, I think you know what you would have told him. You wouldn't have told him to, oh, just forget about it, I'll go away. No, you wouldn't have said that. And you wouldn't have told him to try and just put it out of his mind, and you would have said, there's a message that can help you. Moses says, if you look to the big brass serpent, you know, can you use your imagination? There he's lying in his wee tent, and he goes through the tent door, and he pulls the tent flap back, and he looks to the big serpent. And you know what happened? He did. Do you know why? Because God said it. And God doesn't tell lies. And God has a message for you and me too. God says, I know you have sinned, and I know you have done wrong things, and you can't come to heaven, and I must punish those sins, but I have an answer to your problem. Listen, my son has been punished on a cross for your sins. Now, he doesn't say to you to use these eyes and look, but he says, I want you to believe and be saved. The people were told, look and live. Do you know what you're told? Believe and be saved. You say, sounds a bit simple. There must be more to you than that. Because God's a simple God, and God's got a simple message, and God says it's possible for you tonight to be saved. The serpent lifted up reminds me of the sin of those people, and that reminds me we have sinned. But then in this wee verse 2, it tells me of the Saviour lifted up. The Saviour is God's Son, and he was lifted up, and the illustration is teaching us that just in the same way as Moses put a big serpent up so that the people could be saved, God has a message. His own son was lifted up one day on a cross. I want you to think about it. I don't know what it's like in Scotland, but back where I come from in Northern Ireland, sometimes people hear this message so many times, they don't really listen. But I want you to listen. God's son never ever deserved to die. He never told a lie. He never done anything wrong. He never said a word and then wished, oh, I wish I never said that. Because he was absolutely sinless. No sin in him. But big, cruel Roman soldiers one day, they arrested him and they bound him with ropes. And they led him into a big hall where there was a whole lot of other big, cruel soldiers. You know what they did? I hope you'd never ever do that. I don't think you would. I hope you'd never do this to somebody. They spat on his face. Yeah. They put a blindfold over his head and then they hit him with their fist. And then they said, you're supposed to be a prophet. Tell us who hit you. Well, they mocked him and they taunted him. And then they did worse. They got a great big whip and they whipped his back so much that his flesh was all torn. The Bible says like a plowed field, so cruel. And then they led him out through the streets, and everybody was standing lining up watching the whole thing. You know what they did? They laughed at God's son and they teased him and they taunted him as he walked through those streets. And then they took him to a hill and they did exactly what the Bible said. They lifted him up on a cross, and when he was alive, they put a big spike into his hand and into his feet and put a crown of thorns in his head and they lifted him up. And you say, but why? Why? Why did God allow all that? I'll tell you why. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but will have eternal life. That's how much God loves you. He allowed his son to suffer that at the hands of men, but I'll tell you even more than that. You see, when the sun should have been shining at 12 o'clock in the middle of the day, God switched the sun off. It was dark. And listen to this. If you really want to be seen, if this is God's message, God says, the Lord God laid on him, his son, the sins of us. Wow. Do you know, when I was a wee boy of almost 7, I just believed God. That my sins, all the real things that I had done that God knows everything about, instead of punishing Ivan for them, he has punished the Lord Jesus for them. I believe God. You know what God says? Whoever believes has everlasting life. It's a very, very simple plan. It's a very, very simple thing, because God doesn't make things hard. So tonight I'm just going to finish very briefly, because I just want you to get these wee points that there was a serpent lifted up, and that reminded us of the sin of the people. And the Savior was lifted up, and that reminds us of a simple plan that God has. He punished his son for sinners. And there was a man once saying, the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. That's salvation. A sinner lifted up. Well, you know, sin is not a very nice thing. And sometimes, sadly, we meet people who, for quite a number of years, have been sinning, and they're not very happy. And they try things in this world that really doesn't help them. In fact, it doesn't do very much for them. It brings them down quite low into, like a gutter. They're not very, very happy. And their life's not very full. But God says, when I save a person, I can lift them out of that. All those things don't attract them anymore. I can give them new desires and a new destiny and give them a new direction. Oh, it's brilliant what God can do. And what God could save you, well, he can. There's many wonderful things that he can do for you. But God says, you need to believe him. Here's God's promise. Whosoever, I wonder who that would be. As anyone here that's not saved, God says, whoever believes on him will not perish, but have eternal life. You see, the problem is, some people are not saved. Well, most people that are not saved, they're not saved because they won't believe God. It really boils down to that. They might have all the other excuses, but they won't believe God. When I was coming over here, I had to do something. I had to trust someone. I'll tell you what it was, because that's what believing means. It just means to trust something or someone. In fact, I watched the most of you coming in, except I didn't see the people at the back, so I'm not sure about them, but the folks at the front, every one of you just come in, plunk yourselves down in that seat. Nobody lifted the seat and looked underneath it and give it a shake to see was it strong enough. No, you just come down and you believed it would hold you, didn't you? You trusted it. I was driving my boat for... No, I wasn't driving my boat. I was driving my car. Left the boat at home. No, I was driving my car to the boat at Larne. And I came to a little ramp where I had to stop because there was a lot of cars and stuff getting on. And I looked at that side and there was a lot of water. And I looked at that side and there was a lot of water. And I thought, I don't know who built this boat. I don't even know where this boat goes. I don't even know how it's going to float with all these cars on it, but I'm going to trust it. I'm going to drive on in. And I did. I just drove in. And you know, I never even saw the captain. He was way up high in the bridge somewhere, but I just trusted him that he would bring me safe to Scotland. You know, if I can do that with just a man, I can really do it with God. God says, you trust me, and I land you safe in heaven. Wouldn't this be brilliant? This is a brilliant family week. If you, that you're not saved, just tonight trusted God's Son. And then he said, I lift you. And I'll give you a new direction in your life. And I'll land you in a new destiny in heaven. It's possible. So there's a little thought for you. A serpent that was lifted, that reminds us of the sin of the people. And the Savior that was lifted, it reminds us God has a simple plan. And the sinner that has lifted reminds me that there's a sure promise, because God says, whoever believes has everlasting life. You've been brilliant. Your mums and dads are brilliant too. Thanks for listening. Don't put it to the back of your mind and forget all about it. Because God says, now is the day to be saved. Thank you for listening. So good. We're just going to pray with you all. Let's close your eyes today. Father in heaven, we just commit ourselves into thy care for the remainder of this evening. Give thanks for the Bible that is God's message to us. We thank thee for thy word. Thank thee for the simplicity of the gospel, that whoever believes in the Lord Jesus Christ will not perish but will have everlasting life. And we commit everyone to thee now. We commend the boys and girls along with every adult here, and pray a blessing on each of us throughout the remainder of this week. Keep us safe, we pray. In the Saviour's name we ask this. Amen.
Supper will serve at 9 o'clock, and it was the last instruction I had, that it was about 9 o'clock, so if there's any change to that, I'll let you know, but if not, I'm going to assumption that it is 9 o'clock. Thank you very much.